This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Tuesday evening alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. And Matt, I just want to start with this. The strength of schedule of the New England Patriots is ridiculous, and Matthew Stafford should be MVP of the NFL.
Yeah, that's an inside joke, Tim. I know that's
a lot of talk on Twitter about Drake May versus Matthew Stafford.
Well, a lot of talk on this show last night during the Rams-Falcons game about the MVP market and the fluctuations in the betting lines during last night's game. Well, Stafford threw a pick, a TD pass, a pick, a TD pass, and the numbers just keep moving and the Rams end up losing. I got some real concerns about the Rams and the way they're playing here late in the season. Hopefully they can get this thing turned around, and that's why Sean McVay is going to play his starters here in Week 18. But as far as the MVP goes, I said it last night. I still give Drake May a slight edge after what's happened last night. I would make Drake May minus 150. I think the number in the betting market is inflated currently, and there are plenty of voters who are going to stick with Stafford, but I do think May has become the favorite.
Yeah, and we can certainly get into it. I just felt like fresh off of last night and all day long, plenty of people, I'm sure, that have no say whatsoever, Matt, on what tickets they have in their back pocket. I'm sure it's all just...
Well, if you're a fan of a team, if you have a bet on a player or a team, you're going to be a little bit biased.
Of course.
Or maybe a lot biased.
Yes. But right now, if you are wondering, Drake May around minus 340 to win the NFL MVP.
Seems too high.
That is a bit rich. Now, I agree with you. I think Drake May should be a slight favorite, but I don't think he should be minus 340. But we digress. We got a lot to get into tonight, Matt Eumanns, as we are in the midst of bowl season. We're at the half of the Music City Bowl as Illinois goes into the locker rooms with a 10-7 lead over Tennessee, and they went off as around 3-point underdogs. There was some real movement towards Illinois today as that thing got bet from 4.5 down to 3.5. The hooks got scooped up, and DraftKings and FanDuel actually closed under 3. So you saw some real push towards Illinois. We'll see how the second half plays. But Matt, in a bowl season where it has been a lot of unders, a lot of first half unders, here we go again. Illinois, Tennessee, the highest total of the remaining games of bowl season, and there's 17 points in the first half. The first half total, folks, if you're wondering, was 31.5, and it's 10-7 at the half.
Yeah, DraftKings closes 63.5. That was the highest total in the market. Obviously, a lot of over money at that book. Circa closed 62, 17 points on the board. When I left home to come in here, Tennessee had first down at the 20-yard line. Looked like the balls were going to be going in, and they didn't score. Did you see what happened?
I actually did not. I was in and out of the first half.
You were probably coming in here at the same time. I thought the Vols were about to take the lead, and then I walk in here, and Illinois takes a 10-7 lead on a late field goal. I have no action on this game. Obviously, wish I would have bet the under.
Yeah.
If you could bet with hindsight, you would have your own private island in the Caribbean somewhere.
Luke Altmyer and Joey Aguilar, your two quarterbacks in this contest. Luke Altmyer, 13 of 20, a touchdown, 133 yards for Illinois. Joey Aguilar, just 6 of 9 for 53 yards. So we will have that game on here in studio. And we did have a final earlier today. Louisiana Tech was down early, came all the way back, and I thought for a moment, oh my goodness, Louisiana Tech, who closed a 10-point favorite, was going to get a miracle cover. They did not. They kicked a late field goal. Louisiana Tech gets a win 23-14. And Matt, I got to ask you a question because I know you were locked in to the Independence Bowl. Did you have the John Hewitt, MVP.
I'll just stop you right there. I said on last night's show, bet the punter to win the MVP today in the Independence Bowl. Did you do it?
I did not. Okay. I missed it out. Yeah, would have been a good cash. Louisiana Tech wins the...
It had to be a field bet. If you had odds up on who's going to be MVP of that bowl game, and actually some books should put odds up
on this. I would say they should.
On every bowl game, what would the punter be? 500 to 1.
I was going to say 1,000 to 1, 10,000 to 1. But the punter for Louisiana Tech, your bowl MVP, Matt. We still have a bowl game tonight, and on paper, a pretty intriguing matchup. A lot of opt-outs, and we've seen some line move today on this game. So let's get to the final bowl game of the evening, and it happens to be our game of the night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
We've got USC taking on TCU, Matt. And USC, well, on paper, you would think should be a hefty favorite in this game. It is, of course, taking place in San Antonio, so maybe a little bit of a home field advantage. But the opt-outs are very important to know in this game. And let's start with the most recent news. USC will be without their defensive coordinator because he will not be their defensive coordinator moving forward. D'Anton Lynn is headed to Penn State, where he will join Matt Campbell. He will be headed back to his alma mater to be the D coordinator there. He will not be coaching tonight for USC. Also out for USC, their right guard is out. Their two stud wide receivers, Makai Lemon and Jacoby Lane, are out. Their two safeties in Bishop Fitzgerald and Kamari Ramsey are out. Edge rusher Anthony Lucas is out. And then for TCU, it's a big one. Their starting quarterback, Josh Hoover, is out. So a whole lot of pieces missing in this game. The market was at 6.5 earlier today, went down to 4, 4.5. You're starting to see a little bit of movement back towards fight on USC. Look, I think this is the classic game, Matt, and I'm not just saying this because we're a live betting show. Watch the first couple series, and I think you'll know who wants to be there. My lean would be TCU right now, but no play pregame.
Well, I definitely have a lean to TCU catching a 5 here because USC is missing so many key components on both sides of the ball. And if you've watched the Trojans all season, you know how important those two receivers are, Makai Lemon and Jacoby Lane. Those guys combined for 15 TD catches, but they're big-time players, NFL talents. You take them off the field, and you wonder tonight how effective is Jaden Maiava going to be the quarterback for the Trojans, who, by the way, has re-signed for next year.
So weird.
I know. It's USC so put bizarre. Out a press release saying their quarterback is re-signed.
New day and age, baby.
USC's missing so many key players that I lean TCU. My problem, I didn't bet this because with Hoover, the quarterback, out for the Horned Frogs, what type of play are they going to get from that position? Ken, what's their offense going to look like tonight?
Seals is your starting quarterback tonight. He's a journeyman. Started his career at Vanderbilt. This will be his, I believe, final game of his collegiate career. There's a reason he was the backup quarterback at TCU, though.
I don't think he's that talented. If I watch the first series and say, hey, this guy's better than we thought, then maybe I'll live bet TCU. But right now I'm concerned about that aspect of it, so I don't want to bet TCU right now without seeing him. I don't like to bet blind and say, and then 10 minutes into the game, we're sitting here going, this quarterback's terrible. Can't believe we bet TCU, which could be the case, right?
Yeah.
Could be the case. I don't know. I haven't seen him play. By the way, D'Anton Lynn left USC as DC, and he's going to Penn State. He's a Penn State guy, so that's why the move makes sense for him. But I thought when Lincoln Riley hired him away from UCLA a couple years ago, what a great hire. Because Lincoln Riley's weakness as a coach is he can't put good defenses on the field. D'Anton Lynn is one of those, say, young rising stars in the coaching profession. He's going to be a head coach before you know it. So this is a really good hire by Penn State. It's a big loss for USC. I don't know if it's going to affect the Trojans much in the bowl game tonight. They've already done their preparation. Eric Henderson can make the defensive play calls. In the long run, though, I think this is a significant loss for Lincoln Riley's program to lose D'Anton Lynn to Penn State.
Yeah, we will see how it all plays out. That is our game of the night. Not starting for a little while, though. 9 o'clock Eastern will be the kick time. Alamo Bowl, historically, Matt, has been one of my favorite bowls to watch. I always feel like you get fireworks in this game. You would probably remember this well. Wasn't it Purdue who beat Kansas State, that K-State team that was like number 4 in the country with Michael Bishop? Is that right?
I was at that game. San Antonio. I think it was like 1998.
Yeah.
K-State was number 2 or number 4 or something like that. And Drew Brees was a quarterback for Purdue. Had a comeback to win the game against K-State. But that's one of the better bowl games. One of the better non-playoff bowl games is the Alamo Bowl.
RG3 finished up his career in that game. Had a monster game.
Been a lot of good matchups in the Alamo Bowl over the years. Unfortunately, this one tonight, it has the feel of a kind of a scrimmage or an NFL preseason game with so many key players out.
Did you have Purdue plus 14 in that game, Matt?
I believe I did. I actually thought they had a shot to win. Purdue team with Drew Brees was really good. It had a lot of future NFL players on it, too.
37-34.
That was also a situation where K-State was a little bit disappointed to be in the game because K-State, not long before that, looked like it was going to be playing for a national championship.
Matt, they were undefeated going to the Big 12 championship game. They lost in double overtime, and then they had to go to the Alamo Bowl. That's kind of the early example, at least for me, of motivation in bowl season, right? It's like Kansas State on the doorstep of a national championship, number two team in the country, loses the Big 12 championship game. They play an unranked Purdue team in the Alamo Bowl, two touchdown favorites, they lose outright.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to look for when you're handicapped. I think that Purdue team the next year actually went to the Rose Bowl, won the Big Ten, beat Michigan and Ohio State, and won the Big Ten. So that was a long time ago, man.
It was last century.
That's a long time ago.
We got college basketball going on. We got a lot to get into. Great guest list. Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook will give us the latest from behind the counter when it comes to the college football playoff. How are those games being bet? Our good friend Chuck Esposito, he will jump on the program. We get dueling behind the counters for you. Dan Saley will join us in the second hour, give us some thoughts regarding the college football playoff as well. Ryan Hyatt, our guy, man on the ground down in Lubbock, Texas, and David Behrman, his thoughts on week 18. So a busy show for you. We've got a bowl game going on right now. Illinois, a 10-7 lead over Tennessee at the half. Easy first half under for anyone who took that. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Come on back. We're up and running. It is VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Matt, I saw some Nebraska Reds starting to walk around the Circa Sportsbook. A couple Utah fans as well. I think that will be a decently attended bowl game tomorrow afternoon. Actually, a pretty solid slate. Nice appetizers leading all the way up to Ohio State and Miami. Pretty pumped for the quarterfinals. You and I, earlier today, we recorded the latest episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, dished out some best bets, not only on the playoff games, but a couple of bowl bets as well. Matt Grill, by the way, going to join us bottom of the hour. We'll hear how those games are being bet so far, if he's got any opinions on the bowl games and playoff games as well. But we got Ohio State and Miami leading us off, Matt, and you are just playing the Keith Jackson intro. 2003, January of 2003, leading into that game, Ohio State was a 11.5-point underdog against Miami.
I did bet Ohio State in that game, but I felt like the Hurricanes got robbed on that late pass interference flag.
Couldn't get it out.
Looks like the game's over. Larry Coker is halfway across the field. I think they're dumping Gatorade on Larry Coker, and then the official throws the flag in like 15 seconds late. Man, I got to tell you, if you're a Miami fan, the Bear, Chris Felica, had to be sick about that. It looked like you had the championship won, and this bogus flag flies in late. And Ohio State ends up winning the game. But yeah, talk about great voices in the history of college football. Keith Jackson, Brett Musburger. Right? Who else? Lindsey Nelson. You remember Lindsey Nelson?
I don't really remember Lindsey Nelson. That was the...
Who was the Notre Dame play-by-play guy for so many years?
Don Crickey?
Was it?
I was thinking the radio.
Who was the radio guy?
Crickey did, I would say 80s and 90s, if I remember correctly. But
Don Fisher at Indiana has been doing it for like 50 years. remember listening to Don Fisher.
He was interviewed on the 60 Minutes piece.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's incredible. He's like the Vin Scully of college sports. Don Fisher's been doing it forever. He's been doing it since before Wes Reynolds was born, believe it or not. That's the truth. Yeah.
Wes Reynolds headed out. He might already be boots on the ground down there in Pasadena, where they are anticipating not your typical weather in Pasadena.
Rain. No, it's not. Every time I've been to Pasadena, it's been warm, sunny. The weather's been great. You watch the sunset over the San Gabriel Mountains. It's just an awesome setting. And Indiana goes there for the first time in 50 years, and it's going to be raining and dismal. But, hey, if the Hoosiers win the game,
they win, who cares? Might as well be snowing,
yeah.
Right, at that point. We're going to get a clip here of the Bear in just a moment. Of course, the Bear.
We got two things here. We got the Bear, and we have a cow in this segment.
We have not. The Bear, I would say, of his analysis of Miami in recent years, he's actually been pretty pretty fair.
Yeah.
Boy, he has been all in, pom-poms up on his beloved Canes this year. And, he was trying to make the case.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think it worked out. I think the Bear helped out the case, to be honest, because the committee's a bunch of dopes. That Miami deserved to get in to the playoff. They win their game. Before we get to the Bear.
When's the Notre Dame bowl game?
They're not playing in one, Matt. I don't know if you heard that.
Is that an unnecessary shot?
They were thinking about going to the Independence Bowl, but the Louisiana Tech punter had other thoughts in mind.
I don't know who would want to turn down an invitation to the prestigious Pop-Tarts Bowl. I mean, that's just crazy.
They got a frosted – I mean, think about the frosted s'mores Pop-Tart they could have ate post-game if they had beaten BYU. But when you look at this Miami-Ohio State game
I've looked at it.
How does Miami find success offensively? We had Brad Powers on yesterday, and he likes the Miami team total under. It is by far the lowest total of the four playoff games that we have. How does Miami find success in this game offensively?
I don't think Miami is going to find much success offensively. I'm thinking about betting this game under the total, 41.5. 41 is a key number in totals, obviously, and Mark Fletcher would have to go off on the Ohio State defense, which seems unlikely, right? Because the Buckeyes probably not going to give up much on the ground. Fletcher had 172 yards against Texas A&M. I think he's their best offensive player. Now, you're going to have to cut Carson
Better than
Beckers.
Tony? Better than Malachi Tony?
Well, I mean, in the Texas A&M game, Fletcher was their best
player. It's easier to get the ball to
I know.
Fletcher, too.
You got to rely on Carson Beck. That's the problem here is that you got to cut Carson Beck loose in a sense, and you don't want him to make the big mistake to blow the game, right? They were very conservative. The Canes were offensively against A&M. What did Beck have in that game, Tim? 103 yards passing? It wasn't much. I think he was like 14 for 22 for 103 yards or something like that. It was
14 of 20, 103 yards, one touchdown, no picks.
You're going to have to do more than that against Ohio State, right?
Yep.
And Fletcher had 172 yards on the ground. I don't think Miami is going to be able to have a lot of success, but the Miami defense is legit. And Ohio State's offense not producing a lot of big plays with Julian saying a quarterback, and this Miami D is not going to give up a lot of big plays here. So I think it's going to be a grinder, low-scoring game. I like the idea of taking the points here, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's hear the Bears' analysis of Miami-Ohio State.
I think the line at 9.5 is completely disrespectful. I think that Miami defensive line is going to be a problem for Ohio State. We talked about how I thought it was going to be a problem for A&M, and it was. This is by far the second best opponent that Ohio State has faced all year. Indiana is the only other team in this stratosphere that Ohio State has faced in terms of defensive pressure, and we saw what happened in that game. Ohio State struggled. I think the Canes have a great chance to win the game. Do I think they're going to be able to move the ball up and down the field? Probably not. They're going to have to get more out of Carson Beck. They're going to have to get more out of their receivers, but I like the Canes a whole lot.
By the way, I got to point this out.
Mm-hmm.
Well done by the Bear, fresh off of his cruise, to be rocking his St. Thomas Virgin Islands hat there in
that
clip.
Is that what it was?
Okay. The Bear, by the way, currently in second in the Circa Friday Football Invitational, and his best bet, based off of that analysis, was to surprise you, it's Miami plus 9.5.
Actually, the top three contestants on Friday night in the Invitational, I believe last Friday was Massaro, Pritchard, Chris Massaro, Chris Felica, and Scott Pritchard. All three have Miami plus 9.5. As I mentioned on the podcast with you this morning, I'm going to play Miami here too. But I was going to bet the 10 plus 10. And before I could pull the trigger, the number drops to 9.5. Now I'm annoyed because I'm waiting for 10 to pop up again. It's not popping up. I think it's going to resurface before the game. If I have to, I'm going to buy the half point, and I don't do that on 9.5 typically, but since I barely missed the plus 10, if this game landed on 10, I would be ticked off for a long time. So I've got to get to 10.
Matt, come on. You let things roll off your back very easily. Come on now.
Plus 10 at minus 125 if I have to, but I'm going to wait to see if I can get to 10. I think you got plus 10 at minus 120, right?
I did, yeah, here at Circa. I missed the minus 10. That was there for a couple of hours, and then on Sunday night there was a minus 20 out there. So I took the 10. I do like the first half under a little bit more. And, look, the last time we saw Ohio State playing on New Year's Day, we saw them come out with Jeremiah Smith and Will Howard were zinging it all over the field. They had 34 first-half points. Ryan Day is going to take over play calling with Brian Hartline headed to South Florida. Hartline's still going to be there with the team, but the play calling will be Ryan Day's duty. I think also it's worth noting, as the Bear pointed out, this is the second-best team that Ohio State has played this year, and you could argue it's the best defense that they've played this year. Mm-hmm. Indiana's defense is really good, but Miami's defense, based off of some metrics, you could say maybe is better, especially when you look at Reuben Bain and Mesidor coming off those edges. So, you know, something that we talked about, how does Julian Sayin adapt to that? Do they do a lot of short throws? Do they get the ball out quickly to a guy like Max Clair, the Purdue transfer at tight end, who I remember thinking back to week one, Matt. He had one catch for, I think, 10 or 11 yards against Purdue, against Texas.
Well, if you remember, the Ohio State offensive game plan stunk in that game against Texas. What, they have 202 total yards?
Ugly, real ugly. Wow. But I thought that he would be a massive piece to this offense, and he's been fine, but nothing too crazy. I think this could be the game where he's utilized a bunch, especially to try to avoid all that pressure coming their way.
Yeah, I think so, too. Their Buckeyes have so many weapons they could use here. Ryan Day is going to be calling plays for Ohio State with Brian Hartline, the OC, going to South Florida. So it would be a little bit different in terms of that. By the way, you know, we talked about the first half under in this game. I remember we were talking about Ohio State, Michigan. I love the under in that game. And it seemed like the first half under made more sense. But then there were 26 points scored in the first half and only 10 in the second half to keep it under.
Yep. I had the first half under. I think you had the full game under. Yeah. And that one worked out well for me. Quick update from the Music City Bowl. It's 10-7. Illinois punting the ball back to Tennessee. A pregame total of what, 64.5?
63.5.
63.5. Down to 41.5. Speaking of DraftKings, Matt Grill will join us coming up bottom of the hour. But a reminder, folks, ProphetX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football, national championship, and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping up playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProphetX's 20% purchase match. Download ProphetX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Tennessee quarterback Matt Joey Aguilar taken for a bit of a spin, fumbles, and Illinois pounces on the ball in the end zone. Touchdown Illini, as they are reviewing it. Just, I imagine, just in case he was down, but I don't think he was anywhere being close to down. It is 16-9 right now. Live line, Illinois out to a 5.5-point favorite. Total bumped back up a little bit to 51.5. 11:48 to go in the third quarter, and an extra point pending here for Illinois to try to take a 10-point lead. Late steam on Illinois in this one. Game closed at DraftKings at 2.5. And speaking of DraftKings, well, let's find out how these college games have been getting bet. Let's do that right now.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Well, with the games, Matt, being tomorrow and on Thursday, let's bump up our good friend, Matt Grill, from behind the counter, odds maker for the college football lines over there. He joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Matt, before we dive into the games starting tomorrow, tonight we've got USC and TCU. It's an opt-out fest all over the place. USC's got a bunch of opt-outs, including their top two wide receivers, back end of their secondary. But Josh Hoover is out for TCU. How have you tried to set this line, and what action have you seen on the Alamo Bowl kicking off in about an hour and 15 minutes?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. And, yeah, just enjoying some of these bowl games today as we're ramping up with some better quality games, I'd say, these next couple days for sure. And, yeah, you just mentioned it, USC-TCU. This is one that's kind of bounced all over. Opened 5.5, got up to 6.5, down to 3.5, and now we're back at 4.5 with all these opt-outs. So, again, just trying to balance as best as possible with kind of the value of all these guys. You know, people like Lemon, no surprise that he's sitting out. He's going to be a top draft pick. Too bad Hoover's not playing for TCU. The Alamo Bowl, this is always a good one. So looking forward to this one tonight. And then, of course, tomorrow, got four games before we got the first quarterfinal late at night.
Hey, just quick question, follow up on this game tonight. Total 56.5, TCU. 4.5-point dog. What type of quarterback play do you think the Horned Frogs are going to get with Hoover out tonight, Matt?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a drop off, I think, guys. But again, you know, it's just funny, these bowl games for the most part have been going under the total. We talked about this last week on the show with all these guys. There are a lot of second stringers, a lot of the freshmen that are playing these games, just trying to patch together a team. You know, you've seen a lot of these offenses are pretty disjointed. So you know, the more and more offense we see, or QBs that haven't played all year, I think that's just going to continue.
All right, how about tomorrow, ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa, Iowa Vandy, Diego Pavia against this Hawkeyes defense, which is top 10 in the scoring D. Number is 5.5, total of 46.5. Do you like either side, or how do you handicap that one?
Yeah, I think this is one of the better bowl games, guys, outside of the CFP. Of course, Diego Pavia off the loss with the Heisman. Didn't have the best reaction, came out and apologized. So he's going to want to prove things, you know, just once again. But you mentioned it, Matt. I do have a preference in this game. I like the Iowa Hawkeyes. This is a team who, you know, got pretty good market respect all year. I'm not seeing it here. I think 5.5 is well too many. I think this game should be about 3.5. So give me the points on this one with the Hawkeyes for sure.
That's the same thought that you and I have, Matt. Yep. Eli Stowers, by the way, when we were doing the podcast, you asked if he was definitely out. I said, I don't know. He is out. Eli Stowers, the stud tight end. He is out. That was reported from Pete Thamel, a couple days ago.
If you're a top NFL draft prospect, the Mackey Award winner, why would you play in a game like this, really?
Fair question. Matt Grill joining us here. Matt Grill would never opt out of these spots, though. He's always going to give us his best. And let's get into a game that you don't have to worry about opt-outs. You've got the first of four quarterfinals tomorrow night, ringing in the new year down in AT&T Stadium, Miami, Ohio State. Right now, you guys are sitting at 40.5 as a total, 9.5 as a spread. Matt, how has this game been bet so far? And do you expect that 10 to potentially show up on Ohio State before kickoff?
I guess it could, Tim. It's been up there already. You know, earlier on, after we knew these matchups in these games, hit as high as 10. We opened 9.5. That's where we're sitting right now. So, again, money's been on the spread with Ohio State and money line with Miami, Florida. So no real surprise there. You know, Miami, this is a team, if they get going, definitely dangerous. You know, they had 7 sacks against Texas A&M, and just how did Marcel Reed all game in that 10-3 victory. And, you know, right here, if they end up performing well against this Ohio State offensive line, no easy task, but if they do, could spell some trouble for the Buckeyes. So Ohio State still probably the best team out there in the country. Although of course, against that game against Indiana was the first time they played a real team since probably the opener in Texas. And, you know, they struggled in that game. So we'll see what happens here when we get them playing another quote unquote real team. But I think I'm really excited for this one tomorrow night down in Texas. And you know, if Ohio State plays really well, and takes care of business easily, no doubt they'll, you know, at that point they'll be, might even be odds on favor to win it after a victory, a resounding victory over Miami, Florida. But we'll see. Yeah, it's an intriguing game.
Yeah, we got a full day of games on Wednesday. How about the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Michigan and Texas? And Matt, we got several players out on both sides here in this game. Texas now a 7-point favorite. and a total of 48.5.
Yeah, guys, Michigan, of course, very tumultuous last month. We all know what's happened there. Kyle Whittingham coming in, but not till next year. So I think it's a good hire for them. So I don't really think they're too focused on this game, guys. I think they just kind of want to get the season over with and move forward with the Whittingham era. That's why I bring him up. You know, Bryce Underwood not playing. Arch Manning's going to give it a go for Texas in spite of all the other opt-outs that they're going to have. You know, a lot of running backs not going to be playing for them. But I do kind of have a slight lean toward the Texas side here, laying 7. Again, just like I mentioned, you know, just a lot more cohesion with this team. Even with the guys going, that's, you know, when you're Texas, that's going to happen every year. So this isn't unexpected. So I think Sark's going to prepare for this game pretty well. And again, Michigan, if they get down early, I really think this one could get ugly for them.
Matt, I'll be on the sidelines tomorrow afternoon for Nebraska and Utah. As you mentioned, Kyle Whittingham is now going to be at a different bowl game. He won't be coaching, but we thought this would be the swan song for Kyle Whittingham. Instead, it will be the debut of Morgan Scalley for Utah. Devin Dampier expected to play. No worries there. Not a lot of opt-outs for Utah. A couple on the offensive and defensive line, but a big number here, Utah against Nebraska.
Yeah, Tim, this one's sitting at 14, and I think this number's spot on. You know, Utah has played, you know, really well here. They could have easily been the representative of the Big 12 in the CFP. Just didn't get to the title game. So, you know, Nebraska coming in without Dylan Raiola, as we all know, with a broken leg, and their quarterback play without him just has not been up to snuff so much. So, again, I think there's going to be trouble for them trying to find points in this one. So, again, if Utah can get up early, I think Nebraska could shut it down pretty quickly. So, if I had to lay aside here, I'd probably lay the 14, but usually not interested in laying numbers like that in these bowl games.
Matt Grove, DraftKings with us. Tim Murray's going to be out drinking late on New Year's Eve, like he is every year.
He'll wake up with a
hangover on New Year's Day. Wake up early if you're going to watch the Orange Bowl, though. Man, that's a 9 a.m. kickoff Pacific time. Oregon, Texas Tech. Matt Grill, do you agree with the move here to the Ducks as 2.5-point favorites?
I don't, guys. Again, we kind of said the same thing in Indiana, Ohio State, kind of made a bold move saying that maybe it was the wrong team favored. I definitely think that's the case here. I think Texas Tech should be the deserved favorite here. You just kind of look at their results throughout the year. You know, they've won every game by 20-plus points outside of their one loss to Arizona State when they didn't have the quarterback. And you look at these teams they beat. They've beaten a lot of ranked teams at the time when they did that. So they've just dominated. They got a stellar defense, more than stellar, one of the most dominant defenses probably outside of Ohio State and Indiana. And Oregon, look at their resume. To me, it's lacking a little bit, guys. And, you know, they're not going to have one of their top receivers this game. You know, I know they really showed out well in that first half against James Madison, but ultimately they still gave up over 500 yards to those guys and over 30 points. So this is one I expect Texas Tech to come out on top. So I just think wrong team favored.
Rose Bowl is going to have some rain in the forecast. Alabama, a 7-point underdog against Indiana in this spot. Indiana, first Rose Bowl since 1967, number one team in the country. What do you expect to see in Pasadena?
Yeah, who would ever thought, guys, we'd see Indiana laying a touchdown to Alabama? Just imagine telling that to someone about 5 years ago. I think their brain would explode. So, but that's the case here, Indiana. You know, the probably easily the second best team in the country, if not the best. You know, they're going to get Cooper back, a wide receiver, so they're going to be fully healthy there. And, you know, Mendoza comes in as a really efficient guy, a really high IQ guy. So, you know, Alabama, they've had their warts throughout the year. We all know that. They found a way against Oklahoma. So I think they're going to keep it close for a while, guys. I kind of imagine this being low scoring, you know, but not a really a traditional Rose Bowl matchup that we've seen. There's going to be some weather, like you just said, so that could make things interesting as well. And we're truly going to see, you know, is Indiana, can they really compete with the talent that Alabama has, you know, on those offensive and defensive lines? So that's going to kind of be the real intriguing thing to watch in this game, I think.
Grill, last 10 seconds. Do you like a side in Ole Miss, Georgia?
Yeah, Ole Miss was up most of the game against Georgia earlier this year. Give me the points in that one.
All right, there he is, Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt, always appreciate
thanks,
it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks, guys.
We got a touchdown to tell you about in the Music City Bowl. This bad boy is far from over.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tennessee gets into the end zone, and now this second half is starting to look a little bit like what we anticipated the game to be pregame, as we're starting to see offenses come alive here. Illinois on the march, and they are nearing midfield. I'll tell you what, I like these Illinois uniforms. 17-14, the all-blue uniforms for the Illini here tonight, and they are trying to get a minor upset over Tennessee in the Music City Bowl. Right now, Illinois a slight favorite, -$1.60 on the live line, -2.5 on the line.
Do you imagine after we were talking about how this was a dead under at halftime if this game went over? It could go overtime. It could go over the total.
Sure.
You're not safe yet.
52.5 right now, the live total. But, yeah, you are far from getting home with that one.
Speaking of games went over the total, how about the Hawaii Bowl? You and I both heavily invested in that. The steam was going the other way. Total dropped from 55.5 to as low as 50. I had three bets on the over. You bet it when it got down, dropped to 50.
I got it
right?
at 50. I had Hawaii on open, wrote it up for the guide, took some money line on Hawaii, and when it was 21 to nothing, looking like it was probably an under, and
well, at that point, I was just saying, get it over, because if Hawaii had to chase, they were going to throw the ball and speed up, play a, you know, hurry-up offense, which they were not doing early in the game. But that game, big fourth quarter, got us over. 35-31, Hawaii won the game. But, Tim, I wanted to throw this on the show tonight. One of the highlights of the game came at halftime.
All right.
And this photo I took is of a fan who won a raffle and was allowed to kick a field goal. This is from 25 yards, okay? You get a field goal attempt from 25 yards, and if you make it, you get free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Holy
smokes.
I'm
like, man, what a prize. Why? Where was I when that raffle was called off? I would have loved to attempt that field goal. Anyway, so he steps up, 25-yard field goal attempt, and hits a low line drive. No chance. But the announcer says, okay, you get two shots, though. You get two shots. Ooh. So take a step back and adjust. In the meantime, the Chick-fil-A cow was going to step up and kick the field goal from 25 yards. And the cow's out there in the big cow uniform, right? Costume, whatever you want to call it. Believe it or not, the cow drills the 25-yard field goal halfway through up the uprights, halfway up the net, splits the uprights. And I was saying this Sunday night. Where were the Buffalo Bills scouts when the Chick-fil-A cow was drilling that field goal? Because the Bills should have signed the Chick-fil-A cow, and they probably would have beat the Eagles on Sunday. The Chick-fil-A cow was a better kicker than what I've seen for the Buffalo Bills this season. Drilled the field goal from 25 halfway up the net.
In the big cow
split
suit.
Split the uprights. In the big cow suit. So, by the way, the second attempt by the fan to kick the field goal. Better, but it was wide right, and he did not win the Chick-fil-A for free Chick-fil-A for a year.
You see a lot of those, the McAfee.
I love that promotion, though. It was cool.
Chick-fil-A for a year. You would run them out of business if you got Chick-fil-A for a year.
I wanted a shot at that. But I got to tell you, that Chick-fil-A cow in the suit to kick that field goal like that was pretty impressive.
By the way,
Buffalo Bills, get him on the phone.
Luke Altmaier just scrambled up the middle and just obliterated the umpire. Just knocked him over. Get out of my way. Illinois on the move. They keep showing the umpire, who probably feels a little bit embarrassed as he got knocked over there in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. So Illinois and Tennessee. By the way, we got a busy second hour coming up. We're going to go behind the counter again. Chuck Esposito, who joins me every Saturday, or has been throughout the college football season, he'll join us. Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN, he's going to be on the sidelines for the Rose Bowl. He will join us at 8:30, and then Dan Saley will give us his thoughts on the college football playoff.
Well, we got a packed show tonight. Matt Grill, Chuck Esposito, Ian Fitzsimmons, Dan Saley, Ryan Hyatt, and David Bierman.
Oh, that's an excellent show, might I add. Our final show of the new year, Matt.
It is.
Of 2025, I should say. By the way, just a reminder, Matt and myself will be with you on New Year's Day. We'll be watching the end of the Rose Bowl, and then we'll get the entirety, or at least the beginning part, of Georgia and Ole Miss, and I hope that Matt Grill is wrong with his assessment on Ole Miss and Georgia, because I think that Georgia takes care of business in that one. You know, Matt, when you think about the Sugar Bowl, which is the finale of the four quarterfinals, how much goes in your opinion, in the handicap of Pete Golding trying to kind of become a head coach, right? This is going to be just his second game as a head coach. Yeah. Everything going in week one, into that game against Tulane. It all comes out perfect. And now you got to turn around. You got to prepare for Georgia. And Kirby Smart's been sitting back and getting his team prepared for 4 weeks to try to knock you off.
Kirby Smart's a wily veteran, and he's done a great job improving this Georgia defense in the second half of the season. As I mentioned, over the past four games, Georgia's allowed 7.3 points a game. And it's much better defense than it was in the first half of the season. And Kirby has also got the advantage of seeing Ole Miss once. Right, they hosted the Rebels between the hedges. He's going to know everything there is to know about this Ole Miss offense. Only difference is Lane Kiffin's not going to be calling plays for the Rebels. I also like Gunnar Stockton, and I like this Georgia offense. Gunnar Stockton's a dual threat. He's not going to make many mistakes. And Stockton, I'm going to tell you, over the against Alabama and Texas late in the season, Gunnar Stockton totaled seven touchdown passes with one interception. He was really efficient. And that's why the Georgia defense was shutting down opponents. Georgia plays that way. We're going to like our bets on the Bulldogs laying the points here. I'm going to bet Georgia laying the points. I laid six out at South Point. It's 6.5 everywhere else. Lowest number in the market is out there with Chris Andrews at the South Point. And I'm also going to bet Georgia on the money line and money line parlay Georgia with Indiana. If you do that, Georgia, Indiana, both at minus 235, that comes out to plus 103.
That's here at Circa, right?
Here at Circa.
Yeah, the best two money lines. I actually did that myself when I saw you. We send emails to make sure the graphics are ready for the podcast, and I'm like, ooh, plus money on Indiana and Georgia? All
if
right.
If you tease those, you're actually laying about minus 111.
Yeah.
But if you money line parlay those, plus 103. That's the way to do it.
Always look around. Yeah, for Georgia, Matt, you think back to that game on October 18th, and, you know, what Matt Grill said is accurate. They were fortunate to get that cover. You even said it on the podcast today, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Georgia was fortunate to cover 7.5 against Ole Miss on October 18th, a 43-35 win. I also think it's fair to say that Georgia, their best two games of the season came November 15th against Texas, and then the SEC championship against Alabama. Now, the Georgia Tech game was a kind of bizarre.
Yeah, that was.
Very weird, played very poorly offensively, less than 300 yards, had less than a 50% postgame win expectancy.
Hopefully they don't play like that this
week. Yeah, and you can't just throw it out. They played like crap against Georgia Tech. That is the more than fair, and it's not a good Georgia Tech defense. But you think back to the game on October 18th, Matt. Eight possessions to start the game. Eight scoring drives for Georgia. There was little to no resistance by that Georgia, by that Ole Miss defense. Now, Trinidad Chambliss had a very strong game in that contest. They did hold Kawan Lacy to a season-low 31 yards. I think this Georgia defense, what we've seen, what we saw against Texas, what we saw against Alabama, I think that's where they're at right now. This defense seems to be coming together. And how about this? Brett Ciancia of Pick 6 Previews has joined the show before. He pointed this out. Kirby Smart with extra time to prepare, Matt, 28-3 since 2019. Now, that's straight up, not against a spread, but you got a lot of time to prepare. And I also think it's worth noting, last year, won the SEC, lost the Sugar Bowl. You don't think a crazy person like Kirby Smart is going to be reminding his team of what happened last year in that game against Notre Dame?
Right.
So
there are a lot of reasons here, I think, to like Georgia. But I'm going to start with the defense. And the dramatic improvement that defense has made in the second half of the season. I like Gunnar Stockton, too.
He's seventh in the Heisman, by the way.
What was he?
He was seventh in the Heisman.
He reminds me a little bit of Brock Purdy, right? The more you watch him, you slowly start to buy into him as a guy who can make plays with his arm and his legs. Highly intelligent, not going to make many mistakes. So hopefully he plays that way in this game against Ole Miss.
Luke Altmyer finds his way into the end zone, and now we got some points in Nashville. Looks cold in Nashville right now. 23-14, extra point pending as Illinois responds to a Tennessee touchdown with Luke Altmyer lowering his shoulder and getting in for six. So an extra point coming here as Illinois ups their lead to 23-14 with an extra point on the way. It is up. It is good. How about the total, Matt? It keeps creeping up to 55.5. You're not home yet
not
if you have the under.
You're not safe yet. By the way, Tim, Tennessee, Nashville is not necessarily paradise this time of year. When I was there a couple weeks ago, it was 15 degrees.
Was it really?
It can get cold. That was when the whatever the double.
Fortunately, they have some libations that could warm you up. I think
Broadway's got so many great bars; it's phenomenal. We got to get VSIN Primetime and Super Dave in the morning to Nashville for the SEC basketball tournament in March. You think we can pull that off?
I'm in. Let's make it happen. Hey, start the new year off as a better with a VSIN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off a regular monthly price with our holiday special. Check out everything we have to offer over at vsin.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.